I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.
HD Smartcast.
You are listening to an HD Smartcast original.
Ever wondered when you should retire? Have you thought of how much money you need to make before planning your retirement? Do you find planning your retirement a big task? Here are the answers to all your questions. My name is Ashutosh Garg, and I am the author of the best-selling book, Reinvent, Reboot, Rewire, Managing Retirement in the 21st Century. You are listening to my podcast, No Age for Retirement. Not only is this podcast the brainchild of the brand called You, it is also an HT Smartcast original, and it is available on htsmartcast.com, India's fastest growing podcast producing platform.
Welcome to a new episode of the brand called You. I am Arani, and I am with Ashutosh Garg. And today, we are talking about a very sensitive but important topic of handling the loss of a spouse, especially after retirement. Hello, sir.
Hi, Arani.
So today we are discussing this very, very heavy topic, and I'm not quite sure how to proceed with it, but let me give it a try.
Okay.
So how do you handle such a situation as a person if it happens to me, let's say?
So, you know, life and death is a reality. Everyone who is born has to die, right? We have all developed our own coping mechanisms. And how many times do we say that when someone passes away, when he or she is 87, 88, 90, and we rationalize to ourselves and say that, that person had a good life. But yet when someone passes away when they're very young, then we all get upset and say, you know, God took him or her away too early. So when you look at each one of us, there are a lot of traumas that we go through in our lives because we are human beings.
Right.
And there is, there were two individuals, Holm and Ra, who, and I think they're from Germany, they did a lot of research on what causes stress, what are the traumatic events that cause stress.
Mm.
And if I was to tell you those, death of a spouse or a child is number one. Followed by a divorce, followed by a marital separation, imprisonment, death of a close family member, personal injury or fitness or illness, marriage. It's also seen as a traumatic event. And it's for both men and women.
Right.
You know, these are all for everybody.
Right.
Dismissal from work,
right.
Marital reconciliation, and finally retirement. So the question that you are talking to me about is number one and number 10.
Correct.
So when you have retired, yeah, and then you have a loss of a loved one, can you imagine how major the trauma
right
is?
It can be at number 10 in the scale.
Correct.
But then I'm sure there are many more in that scale.
Correct.
So it is really, really painful.
Yeah.
It must be. So if it happens, if it finally happens, I hope it does not happen to anybody, but then still it does happen, and let's face it. So how do you, a lot of people, as you said, have developed their coping mechanisms, but then I don't think any of them are right or wrong.
Okay.
So what should I have a strategy for it? Is it right to call it a strategy?
You know, I don't think it's right to use the word strategy, but I think it is always good to say that I am aware that I will at some stage or the other face this reality, and I will be prepared to handle this.
Right.
Right. Because preparation of oneself, when you are tackling the loss of someone near to you, is half the battle won. Most of the time when we have a loss of someone who's a loved one, the suddenness of it, right, is something which is, you know, which creates a lot of trauma. And there are a lot of papers being written around the world where people are saying, and it's very morbid to say that if you have an illness where you know you're going to pass away in the next 6 months or 12 months, that is a better illness to have than to have a sudden heart attack and pass away. Because at least the one who has a long-term illness is preparing the family for the loss, as compared to someone who suddenly goes away and leaves the whole family in grief.
Correct.
So, you know, I think when you lose a loved one, when you lose your spouse, especially after you retire, your whole world changes completely. The longer you've been married, the more difficult it gets.
Correct.
It is very difficult at younger ages also. But if you've been married 50 years, 60 years, the interdependence on one another is so great that it has very often been found that if one person goes away, the loneliness of the other person becomes a big challenge. There is also a lot of empirical data available which says that if the male outlives the female, the life expectancy of the male is definitely shorter because of the incredible amount of dependence the male has on his spouse. On the other hand, women who are generally much more resilient and generally a much, much stronger sex in the human being kingdom, if I can use that term, if they outlive their male husband, and then they find, you know, that they have much better coping mechanisms.
Okay.
And in any case, we know that women have much longer life expectancy.
Right.
So they both, the sexes, male and female, handle loss very differently and are able to cope with it very differently.
So let's talk about the family's role in supporting the person.
Correct.
And also, and given the fact that the family is also facing trauma.
Correct. So, you know, I would categorize the family in what is generally referred to in medical terms as caregivers.
Correct.
They're the people who are around you.
Correct.
And they're generally the children who have to take on the burden of providing care to their elder parent because he or she is going through a lot of grief. So when it comes to the caregivers, I think there are a few things that the caregivers must always keep in mind. I think the caregiver must listen and observe to what they are seeing in their parent who's now left alone. Because there will be changes. There could be situations leading to some depression. There could be mood changes, etc. So those are things that you have to keep observing. When an older person faces such a loss, he or she wants to be left alone.
Right.
They want seclusion.
Right.
And that is something that the caregiver has to be sure about, that let us not completely isolate him or her because they want it. So right. Therefore, someone has to be around them all the time. One has to be able to understand that, you know, despite the age being different between the caregiver and the older person, there are times when that whole generation gap has to be bridged so that there is companionship available, at least for a short period of time. And remember that the older person is aware also of the kind of sacrifices that are being made by the children. And therefore, it is important to say that it's the thought that counts much more than just being physically around all the time. So I think families, and I've seen this much more in India, families provide one of the greatest support systems to the older people when they have you know, retired, and after that they have an issue of a loss.
Right.
Having said all this, the loss becomes even greater when, like in my parents' case, they lost a very young daughter-in-law at 43 and a very young son at 48.
Right.
And I could see both my parents were almost completely destroyed after these two losses. Because you know, we are not conditioned. And it's not just human beings. I mean, you see this in animals as well.
Right.
You know, when someone who, as my mother used to say, I have brought into the world, about my youngest brother, when someone you have brought into this world leaves the world before you do,
right,
then it's a very, very traumatic experience for a parent.
My great-grandmother had 7 children. And by the time I could make sense of, you know, understanding her, she would say that, I have seen 15 of my siblings, like I think she was talking about our extended family, 15 of my siblings and 3 of my children die before me. I have no faith in God.
Right.
So all I have faith in is actually caring for people who are around me. And she was a very, very positive lady.
True. My grandmother died when she was 93. And I remember on her 90th birthday, I went to wish her and I said, happy birthday. And she says, don't wish me a long life. Because the longer my life, the greater the sorrow I have to see. And I thought those were very, very wise words.
Correct.
You know, because of technology, because of good health practices, longevity of life is getting longer and longer.
Correct.
Right? So therefore, we have to learn, you know, coping mechanisms to be able to handle not just work-related stress, but also stress related to our loved ones.
Right. Somewhat provocative question, but still, is there something called preparing for such a thing? I mean, can you have a plan of action if it happens to maybe your spouse? I mean, not to you. Should you prepare each other?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, there are many things that can get done. You know, one of the biggest challenges that everyone faces, and certainly children face when someone, you know, an older person passes away, is that they have no instructions of what to do.
Right.
I remember I had a very, very open and relationship with my father. And I asked him, do you want a full cremation with wood or do you want an electric cremation? And he told me, this is what should be done. This whole thing of organ donation, right? A lot of children are now willing to donate organs of the parent, but there is always an emotion involved with it.
Yeah.
That, you know, how would the person who I loved who has gone away feel? Point of that individual cannot feel anything any longer. So I think a lot of that initial conversation must happen. What do you want me to do after you pass away? You know, sounds a little morbid, but it is probably a much more sensible thing to do than to just do you want to donate your eyes? Right. A lot of people in the you know, when a campaign is run, agree to donate eyes and organs, but they don't inform the children.
Okay.
So when the event actually happens, no one takes action in time.
Right.
But I think it's also very important to be able to have a mindset prepared that you are ready to take care of yourself. You should be in a position to be able to talk to family and friends because they are your support system around you when such a loss happens. You should also be ready to consult your doctor. You know, because as we get older, there are bound to be some ailments.
Right.
And when you go through a trauma, a lot of these ailments could get exaggerated.
Right.
So therefore, it's important to be able to consult your doctor as well. It's also important to remember that you cannot continue to be grieving all the time.
Right.
Because if you're going to be grieving for a very long period of time and then keep depending on your children, you've got to remember they are grieving as well. And finally, I think we have to internalize the fact that when you lose someone, that mourning will take a little time.
Correct.
So, definitely mourn, but don't indulge in self-pity.
Correct.
Yeah? Right. That is very important.
Right. So one last question.
Yeah.
What about moving on and remarrying? Is that a possibility?
Of course. It is something which, and I think couples must speak about it.
Okay.
Elderly couples. Uh-huh. I'm saying that, if one of us leaves,
right.
Do you want me to just become a single individual living alone in extreme sadness? Or do I continue to lead my life? And I see absolutely no harm in being able to, find another partner. You've lived a full life. And, why only for older people? The moment you have a loss of a partner, I see absolutely no reason why you have signed a ticket for a lonely life for all your years ahead. You must be in a position to find a new partner and do things that you would like to. By finding a new partner, it at no stage means any disrespect to the partner who's gone away.
Right. All right. So thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to our podcast. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel, The Brand Called You, and never miss any update. For feedback, reach us on at @HTSmartcast. We are present on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. To listen to more podcasts by The Brand Called You, log on to www.htsmartcast.com, also known as Naye Nazariye Se.
This was an HT Smartcast original.
HT Smartcast.
I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.